Hi, I'm Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto. I've been a minister for 30 years, and I still love to read and wonder about the Bible. Wonder why this story was included, and what do they mean by saying that? It's in the wondering that I hear new things every day, especially if I wonder with others. So that's really what this is. This is me wondering about the book of Genesis. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music, and I want to thank you for joining me. I find that as we do more than just memorize lovely stories and important rules, as we push back and say, that doesn't make sense, as we laugh at the humor and recognize the context, we can discern that is here, the Word of God, in a new and vital way, a way that speaks to us here and now more than a history lesson. I encourage you to go beyond this podcast and wonder with others. You know, something that resonates or something that infuriates in Scripture? Share it with someone. And as you figure out the best way to describe your thoughts and feelings to another person, and as you open yourself to listening to their thoughts and feelings about the same passage, well, new insight happens. The words become fresh and meaningful. So Monday through Friday, I'll be wondering, without much preparation, just wondering about the book of Genesis, and we'll see what happens. You should know that this podcast is simply an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 3 weeks ago. So, if you want to see me make faces as I read, you can find the video meditation on the Jubilee website, www.jubileeunited.ca, or on my channel on YouTube. Just search for Norm Seeley. So, that's enough of that. Let's see what happens next. And today it's Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 34. You may recall that yesterday, earlier in chapter 21, Hagar and Ishmael were sent away. Right? So Isaac has been born to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's not happy, comfortable with Hagar and Ishmael there. They're sent away. And now life goes on. And that seems to be literally what we're doing right now. We're just hearing about how life goes on. So it's Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 34. Let's see what happens. At that time, Abimelech, with Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but as I have dealt loyally with you, you will deal with me and with the land where you have resided as an alien. And Abraham said, I swear it. When Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs of the flock, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these 7 ewe lambs you shall accept from my hand in order that you may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore that place was called Beersheba, where the two of them swore an oath. When they had made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech with Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham resided as an alien many days in the land of the Philistines. So, yeah, life goes on. And we sort of go into a property dispute negotiation, an access to water. It's very civic politics, isn't it? Yeah, so you may recall that Abimelech, this is the king, Abimelech I think means sort of like father king, but anyway, and for all I know, there are 25 Abimelechs, but, doesn't matter, this king, who is the same king that we had recently. So when Abraham first came into this land, where Abimelech is the king, the father king, Abraham claimed that Sarah was his sister, and then Sarah ended up in Abimelech's home to be wed to him, become one of his wives. But God spoke to him. Now, that's interesting because Abimelech is a pagan. Abimelech is not a believer in this God of Abraham. Now, it doesn't mean that Abimelech is atheist and doesn't believe in any gods. More likely, given the time and the context, Abimelech believes in many gods. So may recognize Abraham's God as one of many gods, but has no direct relationship, is not obedient to, has no covenant with. Does not pray to this God, this God of Abraham. And yet, as we know from the previous encounter with Abimelech, God spoke to him and Abimelech listened, but has not changed his faith position, which I find intriguing. But I guess Abimelech is devoted in what he believes, and what he believes is not what Abraham believes. Fair play. But when negotiating or when engaging with Abraham, he engages Abraham's God. Abraham's faith is what's important here. I'm not Abimelech, so he's not trying to convert him or change him, but he simply says, and fair enough, because let's face it, last time he met Abraham, Abraham lied to him. So he says, okay, I see that God, your God, is with you in all that you do. So swear to me here by God that you will basically not do, you will, that we will have a good relationship, that you won't lie to me, that you will deal with me loyally, faithfully, and I will do the same thing for you. So you can trust me. I will trust you. You can trust me if you swear by your God. I've already sort of wondered about this more than once in the last week, even just this idea of respecting a God who is not your God, respecting a faith that is not your faith. Here I see Abimelech doing exactly that. He respects Abraham's faith, even though he does not share it. And Abraham is willing to make a covenant with Abimelech, even though he is not of the same faith, even though he does not have the same allegiance to the God of Abraham, to Yahweh. And so I find that interesting. You know, in a time and place when you have various tribes who's at war with each other all the time, fighting for this land, fighting for that land, you would think a difference in faith was enough to put you at war. In fact, Abraham has much said that the last time we dealt with Abimelech, when he said, "Now, why did you lie to me about your wife being your sister?" And he said, "Well, because it's not a God-fearing place, and so I assumed you would kill me and take my wife," meaning I didn't trust you because you don't believe in my God. You have no allegiance to my God, therefore I didn't trust you. But it has changed now. So Abimelech respects Abraham's faith. Abraham respects Abimelech, even though Abimelech hasn't jumped on board with Abraham's God, and they can have a covenant. That message is not lost to me in 2021. I think that's significant and rather important. And so they create a covenant, and they go through a ritual for the covenant, which is, you know, I'm going to give you these, and in fact, I'm going to give you these 7 ewe lambs, which are special. Why are you doing that? Well, because I want you to know that this well is mine. Okay, I'm going to dig this well. This is my well. Before that, there was a well that I'm assuming Abraham accessed, but then Abimelech's people came and seized the well. I mean, you can't pick it up and move it away, but you can stand in front and say, "This is my well, stay away." So what Abraham is looking for is peace. What he's looking for is access to water. What he's looking for is a way to live on the land, with hope, with potential, right? And Abimelech, they make a covenant, and Abimelech makes that so. It says, like, I would not have done that to you. This is the first I'm hearing about it. You haven't told me about it. No one's told this to me. Let's make this work. Again, I appreciate that in 2021 in the world, 2020 in the world that I currently live, in 2021 the world I'm moving into. I don't know if we always appreciate each other's need to be secure in our access to the things that we need, like water, like food security. But water is a big thing. Housing, safety, all those things. I don't know if we appreciate how important that is. And that's what Abraham's looking for. Abraham is an alien. He does not belong here. He has come to be here. And I think of the number of people that I know who I was born in and grew up in the city of Toronto, in Ontario, Canada. I am still in that city, so it feels like mine and my home. But most of the people who live in this city, didn't. We're not born here. They have come here. They have come here looking for food and water and housing and what they need to build a life. And I don't know if we always recognize that it is not. It is not such a stretch to want to offer that to another person. Right? We sometimes treat it as an inconvenience or as an injustice. Why should you have this? I hear that quite often when people will say, well, people came to this country and they came here 10 years ago, but they're going to get a pension. And how dare they? My father paid into that, and that's for us, not for them. Not for them. And them becomes the people basically who have always been here. Anybody who comes later is a them. And we resent them wanting to have security and potential for a good life. We resent that. Here we see Abraham and Abimelech just essentially negotiating that so that Abraham can have it. And it's perfectly natural to want it. I think it's important for us sometimes to recognize the people who come to our country, our neighborhood, or wherever it is, and that part of our hospitality, part of our recognizing that we are all children of God, is to invite them in and give them what they need, share with them what they need, water, housing, potential, hope, employment, all of these things. There it is. Just a little ordinary story. And what's interesting is that in this ordinary, and it is a very ordinary negotiation, God is present. Right? I mean, not just because Abimelech makes Abraham swear by that God, that he will deal in earnest, that he will be honest, but also because because Abraham worships God at the conclusion of this, right? Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. That's when he calls on God. So this is, God is present in this everyday, mundane, regular bit of, for me, civic politics. And I sometimes forget that God is present when I'm dealing with the bureaucracy, when I'm dealing with protocols. Is God present, as I'm trying to get a visa? Do I think that God's present? As people are trying to find a home, to find safety in my country or another country, do I think of it as a holy thing? Do I think of God being involved, or is it a bureaucratic thing? Is it a thing that's like, well, we don't have room, stay away. But if God's involved, it invites me to rethink it and to apply my faith, the faith that invites me as a Christian to love my neighbor as I love myself, the faith that invites me as one of the Abrahamic faiths to recognize the importance of hospitality, that is, to welcome the stranger as if they were a member of your family. Because in a sense, they are. We are all part of God's family. So I kind of like God, recognizing God in the mundane, the property negotiations, the making, securing water rights, that kind of piece. And I suppose the other thing that just sort of jumped out at me, which I find interesting, just at the end. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. So good, they're gone. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So that's where he prays. And if you go back in Genesis, in the previous chapters, trees figure with Abraham meeting under a tree, planting a tree, doing and so I find it interesting that Abraham likes a tree, and maybe because trees are beautiful, because trees indicate that there is water nearby, so it's a good thing that if you can plant a tree and it grows, then you know there's water. Yeah, trees look beautiful. Trees are all sorts of things. The pr trees provide shelter, and so maybe it's under the shelter of that tree that you feel that sanctuary, that sense of being with God, the same sense that some people get when they go into a temple or into a church, just that idea of presence, or sanctuary, protection. But more than that, I think for me, is that trees put down roots. They're not movable. Nomads don't generally plant trees because they're not sticking around. Trees take time to grow. There's no instant satisfaction in planting a tree. There might be if you can imagine how it's going to grow, but it doesn't grow right away. It takes time. So Abraham might be planting this tree so that he'll always be able to know where the well is, possibly. But for me, it seems as if Abraham is investing in a future. Abraham has been pretty much a nomad thus far, moving from place to place. And now Abraham is planting roots. Abraham is investing in the future. And Abraham will not be the only person who benefits from the tree. The tree will indicate where the well is for others. The tree will be around for generations after Abraham has gone. I sometimes wonder in 2020 how many things I am doing that are for future generations. How many things am I doing that others might find what I have found? That is the water at this well. I wonder because, in a time of pandemic, I get scared and I get worried and I just want to make sure I get through today. I'm not thinking about my children or my grandchildren or my great-great-grandchildren. Not thinking generations ahead. I'm just thinking about now. And I'm maybe not thinking about you. I'm thinking about me. Okay, so boy, oh boy, if they shut things down again, will I have enough toilet paper? I better stock up on that. It doesn't matter how many, if there's enough to go around, I'm going to hoard. Oh my gosh, what happens if we run out of this thing? I better make sure I get it for me. If they start to again as if they start to limit what I can get in a grocery store, am I likely to go out and buy a whole bunch of stuff to share with my neighbors? Or am I likely to buy a whole bunch of stuff to put in my pantry so that a couple of weeks later, when there's nothing on the shelf in my grocery store, I'm still eating well? Now, I don't mean to suggest that I think that that's coming anytime soon. I just know that that mentality starts to set in when things are difficult. Abraham has been through some difficult times. Abraham is now, though, planting roots, and he is in his faith. Right? Because he planted the tree and then prayed. In his faith, though, he is doing something for others that they can also find that well. In his faith, he is doing something that will have an effect on generations to come, not just for him. In his faith, in fact, he's doing a thing that he may not even appreciate right away. Right? Planting the tamarisk tree. It'd be much better to just stick a pole in the ground with a big sign that says, "Hey, this is where my well is." But he has planted a tree. And the tree will take a little bit of time to grow. So Yeah, for me, there's invitations here to wonder about faith. Is my faith only about me and for me, or is my faith about and for others? Do I respect other people's faith? And that flips back to the very beginning. Abimelech says to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. How does Abimelech know that? I mean, is it just empty flattery? Just saying, oh man, you're obviously so holy and so special. Or is the way Abraham lives indicative of somebody who has a relationship with God? A God who believes in hospitality and in mercy, a God who is revealed in love. I wonder if Abimelech wandered up to my front door to talk to me about my driveway, whether Abimelech would open with, "Well, Norm, clearly God is with you in all that you do." And if Abimelech wouldn't say that, what could I be doing? That people might recognize that, not in a threatening way. Abimelech's not threatened by it, but in an inviting way that actually made you believe that we could be in relationship together, without fear. Wow. That's something to think about. I think it's probably a good idea I didn't start there. If I started there, I'd be talking about it for the next 20 minutes. Instead, it is I'm going to stop right now and leave this with you for your wondering, and see where it goes. See what God says to you in these words, in the spaces between the words, and the conversations that I hope you get to have about this passage. So on that, let me offer a prayer. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for assuring us that you are with us in the mundane, in just the regular bits of life. Thank you for your inspiration that can be so profound if we just stop to pay attention. God, we ask that all that we have wondered about today, all that we have shared today, we ask that it stay with us, that it grow within us, and that it bring us closer to you, that it help us grow always in faith. We pray through the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that'll be it for me today, but I look forward to checking in with you tomorrow. Until we do see each other, just please know, like the story says here, God is actually with us in all that we do. And don't be afraid to look a little bit beyond yourself, because God can help you do that. You don't need to be afraid. You're not alone. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.